What in God's name is that from Thorin?
Right, people might know after this was a hard period because it's like you guys went back one step, like you were in the semis again or the final, but this time someone else was winning again, right? I have a question, but it's up to you how much you say about this. So if you go and look at the timing, everyone acts like it was completely out of nowhere that like FNX got kicked out of the team and then there was that thing of like Fox is going to stand in and then no one really knew who the official replacement be. But if you go and look at the timeline, all I'm going to say, guys, is if you go and look, he does get removed right after like the finals losses of like Pro League, where you lose in Brazil to Cloud9. Obviously, it's very embarrassing at that time. You were supposed to be the best team. You lost to NIP. This is when they started just winning those Auckland tournaments randomly every year, even though the rest of the year they were like whatever, right? Is it true that there was some sort of behind-the-scenes stuff here? Like, did something happen with FNX at these events? Was there something with the lineup where it was already going? Was the fact that you were always in the semis in the final causing friction? Like, did it have to go this way? Was there a world where things could have just stayed the same five players and kept playing for years more?
The same relationship I had with Godzilla in the beginning of my career, Fallen had with FNX.
Right.
In the beginning of his career. So they had a lot of respect for each other. And when FNX joined the team, Fallen, even that was something he would openly talk about, like, FNX, you are a timing bomb. There are some stuff you got to fix. We want to have you forever, but at some times it just feels impossible. Because they had some experiences together in other teams as well. And that's because FNX, he always liked to have his own life, you know? Like, he always wanted to do his things, and that's fair, but when you are competing and competing to be the best in the world, there are some stuff you have to leave behind.
Yes.
And also FNX didn't have an easy life, you know. The guy had to go through a lot of stuff in his life, and we always see him happy, and he's a beautiful guy, and he is always, you know, looking great, but he's actually a good warrior, I would say. He had to fight a lot in his life to get where he is right now. He came from a time in CS. If for me it was difficult, and it was already CSGO, imagine for him in CS 1.6. So he had to go a lot. He had to go through a lot of stuff, like at his house and for playing CS, and that's difficult for him. So having him in the team, we already knew that it could be difficult at the time. And when we were winning tournaments, and I mean, you get more money and you get more spotlights and opportunities and friends. So I don't think he ever dealt really well with that, you know? And like I'm saying, that's something we openly talk about with him. And he knows that. He knows how he is. He understands everything. But I mean, we are talking about the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Brazilian player of all time. So we always, even though we were openly talk about that with him, we always had a lot of respect to him and always wanted him to be in the team. And when we started winning tournaments, some of these things started to happen, and it's also started to affect his game and the team. And when it started to affect the outside part of the team, like the relationships with him and the players, then we thought that it was time to fix it, and that's when we decided to remove him.
Right. When you came, so that the next year you had the lineup where Phelps was obviously the player that came in and replaced FNX for good after the Fox stand-in, right? Everyone always only talks about the end of this lineup when it went badly and when eventually there was the bolt swap and all that. So, well, I forget. Everyone forgets how amazing that summer was, dude, where you won like whatever the 5 out of 6 tournaments or whatever it was. Like, this was a fucking epic. Like, you guys were winning all the tournaments. Like, even the one you lost was the one where G2 beat you and they won the whole tournament themselves. So, like, this was a really great summer, this one with Phelps. What was it like initially when the Phelps lineup started? Like, did it seem like did the team have to shift how it played at all? Did he play a different role to FNX? How did this team get back to the top again? Because it was eventually ranked number one again.
Yeah. I have my history with Phelps as well. He came from the same time that CodeZero and me was the cheaters, and he would be the one right. that people would say that was cheating as well. And he was really good. Holy man, he is insane. Phelps, when he first got to CS, he was just insane. You know, Fur is next. This style, like. You're gonna be walking with your knife out and expecting him to be like CT spawn and then he's behind you knifing you. So he was this kind of guy, insane, ridiculous to play against. Like so, it was impossible to play against him. But I had my problems with Phelps at the time because I'm very loyal, you know. Like when I'm a part of a team, the team become part of me, and you know I'm gonna do everything. I mean, I don't care if who is wrong, who is right. And now I understand that that's not how you see things, you know. I was just a child at the time, and I was very loyal, and I'm, you know, I represent this team, and this team is, I do whatever for this team. And Phelps, at that time, he was also just a child, and he used to move and leave the teams that he was a part of. Like, he would join a team, and then he would, like, okay, 2 months and they would be doing good and then he would leave and because of someone else and he would leave the team and he would build another team and so he would always do that and he actually did that in my team and back in the days and I got really mad at him because my team didn't, I mean when he started to, okay, I'm not feeling good, blah, 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 we all got mad and we kicked him and I never wanted to play with Phelps again. Never. I was like, I'm never going to play with this guy again. This is not the kind of profile I want to play with in my career. Like a guy that is not loyal, a guy that doesn't care about his team. Like that's impossible to me. I'm telling you, I always had this crazy mindset. And I'm very loyal. Fallen, I used to tell Fallen and he used to tell me that, if we were in a war, I would be his most loyal soldier.
Okay.
he used to tell me that. But with Phelps, I had this problem. And to join SK, he actually had... CodeZero, he was also playing with me at the time. So he also had a problem with Phelps. And But he was the best Brazilian player at the time. We had nowhere to go. Like, we had to go with this guy. But... he had the same style as Fur. They used to play in the same positions. So it was not a good fit. And I'm this kind of guy that really believes in roles. And at least at the time, the CS we were playing, we should trust our roles and we should keep doing what we are doing. And Phelps is not a good, you know. It's not good for us. It doesn't fit. It's not good. And we decided to go with Lucas. Lucas was a guy that used to play at FNX spots, and we already knew him. And we thought that by getting him out of Henny, you know, would make him better. It could be better for him because he never played without his brother at the time. So we really believed in that. But Fallen and Fur, they really wanted Phelps. Me and Cold, we wanted Lucas. And one day we were at the gaming house after practice, and Phelps, he got an Uber and he went to the gaming house and he was hey guys, Taco Gold, I know I was a piece of shit in the past, and I understand what I did, but I was just a child, and it was too long ago. And I was like, yeah, definitely, like, too long ago, and we were just child, and we just talked, and he was like, yeah, it's my dream to join you guys. If you give me the chance, I'm going to do everything it takes to help you guys to achieve what you want to achieve. And we were okay, that's fair, and we decided to go with Phelps. And when he joined, we had a really hard time to adapt him the team because the roles didn't fit. So we had two aggressive, really aggressive players. So instead of having Fur behind someone with his knife out, we had Phelps and Fur doing something stupid on the map with their knives out and knifing someone, you know. And but me, Cold, and Fallen, we were so uncomfortable. We didn't know what to do. Like, we liked to play around Fur and adapting, you know. Like, in the beginning of the round, Fur would say, okay, guys, I'm going to go underpass, and I'm going to play aggressive underpass. And then Cold would adapt to it. I'm going to, okay, Taco, I'm going to be helping Fur on mid, so you are alone on B, so make sure you throw a lot of utilities, you know. Spend your utilities. In 30 seconds, I'm going to be back with you. So stuff like that. So in the beginning, it was really hard. First, because he didn't understand the way we wanted to play. We had three players really uncomfortable because we didn't know how to adapt to two very aggressive players. And we started to lose tournaments and we started to get mad. And we lost a tournament in Ukraine, Star Ladder. We were 2-0 in the...
through a system.
Yes. And we lost 3-2. And then the team exploded. Like, we had Cold and Fur fighting for a stupid reason. Me and Fallen, like, in the middle of everything, but we didn't fight or anything like that. At the same day, we had, like, I was in two different teams already. I was in the team that Cold just made in the after party.
Okay.
And I was in the team that Fur just made at the hotel, you know, with other players. So okay. I was in two teams. They didn't want to play with each other. It was a big fight at the time. But it was just stupid. Like, the reason was literally like that. Okay, we lost. But you did that on connector. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Okay, I'm not never gonna play with you again. Was literally like
okay.
But we kept things internal, of course. And we in the flight back to the US, I talked to Fallen and I was like, Fallen, do you know that the team is falling apart? Did you know that? And he was like, oh, really? I didn't know anything. Oh, yes, man. You have two players that don't want to play with each other, and they already have other teams. One is going to fucking Cloud9, one is going to whatever. Like, can you realize what's happening? And he was like, man, we gotta do something. And then during this flight, I went to Code Sid and, hey, Code, let's go to the back of the flight. And then Fallen went to Fur. Hey, let's go to the back of the flight. Let's talk, everyone. And they were like, no, I'm not going. And they didn't go. They really didn't want to talk to each other. And we went to the gaming house when we arrived. And Ricardo and Camila, they showed a motivational video for us from a lot of Brazilian personalities. Like, we had Neymar, Douglas Costa, a lot of Brazilian football players, famous ones, and Brazilian personalities as well, sending videos to us like, hey guys, you are the best, we believe in you, keep going. And this day we exploded, like, together. There was a explosion, like, in the team. We just told everyone the truth, like, you are shit, you do that, I don't like that. And we just said everything that we didn't like. Everyone were just speaking, and we were, and the conclusion of that, we came to a lot of conclusions, and we fixed a lot of stuff by doing that. And in the end of the day, we were like, okay, Phelps, you need to be what the team needs you to be. If you don't want to do that, you're never gonna get these trophies that we have in the room. We need you to be this player, and we need the team to play like that. And then we just, you know, came back to practice to our gaming room, and we just organized everything. And props to Phelps, because he went out of his comfort zone a lot to be what the team needed him to be. And that's when we started winning. The first one was CS Summit with Phelps, and we didn't stop. Phelps was when he understood what we needed to do, he was an insane player. But even before that, with the style that he used to play in Brazil, he was already an insane player. I truly believe that he was, in my opinion, the only one capable of reaching first level in this role that they play. I think only Phelps could do what Fer did in the history, like the players we had in Brazil, at least at the time. Nowadays, I'm not sure, probably we have someone, but at that time Phelps was the only one that could do that. And he actually left the team because he wanted to. He felt homesick. He was not feeling well in the team, and he actually asked to leave SK.
Right. Obviously, when you guys had that summer run, it even had you like one ESL calling one clone, because that wasn't a major at the time. And then you went straight into the PGL Krakow major. And people might remember this was the one where you guys lost to Astralis in the quarterfinals, then they lost to Gambit, and then Gambit won the major, right? Do you look back, like, if you win this Astralis game or you get a different bracket, you could have won this major, right? This was doable. You were the number one team.
I never liked this PGL major. And that's also really bad to say that, because in a way, like, Gambit won that major. And at least when I was playing it, it didn't feel like a major, because the computers were shit.
There's a lot of tech problems, right?
We had the big jump that they won against us, a map on the...
Oh, the exploit on Inferno, where they were jumping over the little wall, yes. Okay.
They won a map against us because of that, and not because of that, because we
in
never
part,
know.
In part, though, in part, sure.
Yeah. And that also made a big, 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 huge difference in the bracket. Yes. They changed the entire bracket, because we were supposed to be the 3-0 team, and we lost to Big, who were not supposed to be 3-0 at the time. So that major was really weird. And even the match against Astralis, the PCs were not... I remember people, like, during the match complaining about the PCs. Not only us, but even other players. And
right.
So in the end, it's just me making an excuse, because we were not able to win that major. And I don't think if things were all right, I also don't think we would have won that major, because we already had a different mindset for that one. We won like 5 or 4 tournaments before, and I don't think we were as focused as before. Maybe we were too tired. I'm not saying we were not trying. We did everything we could, like, in terms of preparation, and we did exactly the same thing we did in the last tournaments we played. You cannot turn off when you are playing, like, back-to-back-to-back-to-back tournaments. It's not like you go to another one, you turn off. It's impossible to do that. You just keep going. And so the major was really weird. I don't like this major. It was probably the least major I like. I played that I would have a good feeling about. But I don't think we would have won this major because we changed the focus a little bit at that time. The team was already weird, I would say, at that tournament, and for some specific reason that I'm not sure why.
Fair enough. Right, after this, obviously people remember a couple of events later, the Phelps thing where he went out the lineup and Bolts was brought back in, and this is when the team won the three tournaments. They had a little run, they won the Blast, ESL Pro League, etc. Right, when Bolts came back in the team, one of the weird things is, I mean, obviously you originally replaced him when you first came to this squad years earlier, and he's played with actually Fallen now a few times in his career. What? Obviously, he is a totally different style of player to Phelps. So what type of a team did the SK team have to become with Bolts to find the success again?
With Bolts was easier because he actually had that FNX style that we needed. Like, he was more of a passive player. He was good with utilities and lurking and pistol rounds. So to adapt Bolts in our team at the time was really easy. We never had problems to adapt him in any way, and that's why I think we found very early success as soon as we had Bolts in our team.
When you were winning these tournaments, if you remember, the other big rival at the time was obviously FaZe Clan, where they'd got that like superstar lineup and everyone was so impressed when they won New York and all the rest of it, right? At the time, your team basically was beating them every single time. You guys were the number one team in the world. Like, that's actually the last time when this core was on top of the whole scene. Did you think at the time, like, this can just last years? We can just be on top for years and years. We're never going to get beaten. I mean, it looked like in all the tournaments, you were the most clutch team. You'd always win.
In my perspective, when we won some tournaments with Bolts, we kind of took our foot out of the, you know, out of the speed. That's how you say it.
Foot off the gas, yeah.
Yes. And maybe we thought that we were just too good and nothing could happen to us that would make us fall. There's that. I see a lot of ego, and I include myself in that. That's also when the team started to doubt my game, and in my perspective, that's when I started to feel weird about the team, and maybe my time is coming. At that tournament, I had a lot of At that ESL Pro League tournament, I had a lot of pressure in my shoulders. We had a fight in the team during that day, and they wanted to kick me out of the team. Nobody knows that.
Okay.
And
this is the event you won the MVP at, right?
Yes, that's the tournament, right? I won the MVP. Okay. And after that tournament, they even came to me like, "Man, we are sorry. Like, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it." Like. And I was still in the team, but maybe it was too late, you know, like the magic was, at least in my perspective, was gone. Like, I didn't feel as happy as before. I mean, I started to feel like, okay, maybe that's not the right place to be anymore.
Right, I have a couple of questions before we move on to like the Liquid era. Like, what is this? When you were in these first couple of years of the SK Luminosity team that was number one and you won all these championships, how would you describe like what was Fallen like as an in-game leader? Because the thing that I think confuses people is before this era, when he was playing with much less experienced players, he was more of like the professor. He was like the big brain guy that knew everything and he could maybe teach people. It seems like in this team though, with people like Cold Zero, Fur, like you don't teach these players how to play Counter-Strike. They're brilliant in their own ways, you know, you give them space, etc. And then also people did hear that in this era, Cold Zero was like the secondary caller and would sometimes have his own calls. So how would you explain, what was the Fallen approach to being an IGL like back then when he was at his prime?
Well, the structure we had in the team, Fur and FNX, they never liked to do anything in terms of strategies, and
okay.
they never liked to be the ones talking about it. They would do whatever you want them to do and they wouldn't understand it. And I love this kind of players. I mean, in my opinion, for a team to work, you kind of need two guys like this, you know. You can't have too many voices. It's difficult. And then you had Fallen, who was the big brain and the in-game leader and the guy who would, you know, take the reins and give us the direction. We had Code, who was the guy that during the games he would adapt a lot to Fallen's calls, and he knows how to follow up really well with what Fallen was calling, you know. He would read the game and he would, okay, Fallen, you just did that. I think at this round we should do that. I think that's going to work, you know. So Fallen would trust a lot Code Zero in that. And I would be the one, the nerd one. Okay. Like, I would be the one, hey, Fallen, they throw this smoke window on Mirage every round. If you do that, you're going to get this kill. JW, he likes to stay in that position like that, and I would give him a lot of small. We won one map against NIP because I watched the demo, and not going to say the name of the player, but he was playing exactly like me. Exactly like me. Like, exactly like me. And then I came to Fallen. It was a blessed tournament. And I came to Fallen, and I was like, Fallen, he plays exactly like me. I have no words because he's doing everything I do. And Fallen, okay, how do we beat you? How can we destroy you in our bomb site? And then, okay, we do that and that and that. And then we abused his bomb site the entire game, like T-side on train. We got like 5 rounds, and that's what you need, you know? On train, T-side, 5 rounds, that's enough to win the game. So I was this kind of guy, you know? Like, I knew some tells that would give me some moves, and I would be the guy during the map saying, guys, wait, I know what they're doing. Wait, come back. Shut up now. Just come back. Stop. Come back, B. I know what they're doing. They are playing like that. I knew it. I watched this, you know? I saw that. So I think in terms of strategies, I would say Fallen, Cold, the main ones, Fallen, taking the reins, Cold, filling the gaps, and myself giving the details and being the doing the annoying job, like watching some demos and stuff like that, because we didn't have a coach at the time, right? Like, Dad was, even though he understands a lot about the game, he always took more, he always liked to take a more management, thing of the things. He always liked the management part of the thing. So, yes, that's pretty much how we worked.
So explain this to me then. How is it that seemingly not that long after you're the MVP of a tournament, Taco's not in the team anymore? What happened? Did they just tell you one day you kicked? What happened? How did this happen?
No. What happened? We played a tournament in China, and I told Godzilla, we already had some problems during the boot camp. I was already out of my mind. I was not happy at all. I was doing stuff and acting in a way I didn't want to act. And we went to a tournament in China, and I told Code Zero before the tournament, like, if we don't win this tournament, or if anything bad happens, I'm going to leave the team. So the mood was already bad, and we lost the tournament in the group stage. And the other day I woke up and I went to Dad's room at the hotel, and I told him that I wanted to leave the team, and he could do whatever he wanted to do, like look for other players and whatever. And I stayed in China. The team traveled back to Los Angeles, and I stayed in China for a few days. I came back, and when I came back, we had a talk, and in the talk, they told me, okay, we just talked, and just to make things clear, you are out of the team. And yes, I was, yeah, I know. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It was a really great ride. They even told me, oh, if you want to stay at the gaming house while you find another team, you can. You are family for us, and we respect you a lot. And That was pretty much it. And I actually stayed at the gaming house for 2 weeks. That's when I was deciding what team I would join, pretty much. And that's when I decided to join Liquid.
Right. The obvious connection, Liquid, is obviously Zeus was the coach, right? Did you know coming in, like, I'm going to be in a similar sort of role? Did you already have a sense of how you would work together with him again?
It was really easy for me in Liquid as well, because I was switching still, and he's just me in the game. Like, we do every role. So
right.
What they told me at the time was like, literally that. Taco, we believe you are an upgrade. When we take head to head, we believe it's an upgrade, and that's why we are going for you. And I actually believe that. Like, I at least at the time I agree with that. I was leaving the best team in the world. You can say whatever you want. I was still a really good player, and I had a lot with me to. In whatever team I joined, to give to whatever team I joined.
Right. One thing that is an interesting detail about this Team Liquid squad is, right, the perception from outside was like, maybe the guys in SKM, maybe I didn't appreciate you enough, because when you went to this team, I think you beat them almost every fucking time you played them. I've said the same thing to Zeus, that your record against your old teammates was amazing almost every time you played. Did you take pride in that?
I can't lie.
Feels good, right?
Yes, I even had a post where people got really mad at me. I posted myself with a Brazilian flag, and I said, "The Brazilian King."
There you go. Okay.
People got so mad at me, but I loved it. I was having so much fun when I posted it. I mean, I used to make fun of them in at the hotel, you know, like we were friends. They knew that there was not anything personal. I was just making fun. And for example, Fur, he would meet me at the hotels, and I would make fun of him. He would make fun of me. We would laugh, shake hands, and that's it, you know. So, but definitely, I'm a competitor. I like to win, and I hate losing. And losing to them would hurt me a lot, and playing against them, I always gave my, you know, that extra 5%, and also the feeling when I won all the times against them was always great as well, because you kind of have to, you know, not kind of have to, but I wanted to prove a point, you know. I heard a lot of shit, and when I left, I read a lot of shit as well. I had to just stay quiet as always and do my job, because nobody's gonna speak for me, nobody's gonna do anything for me. I have to do something about it. So that's what I always did, and with them was not different. So definitely a lot of good taste winning against them, and especially when I won a lot of times, that feels great.
Right, obviously the other members of this lineup, Naf, Twist, Elige, Nitro, are very famous players now. But it's mainly because of this era that they became so famous. So who were these players that were your teammates? Give me some thoughts on each of them.
They are just, when I joined the team, the first map that I played with them was an Inferno map, and was just a tryout, because I was between Liquid and Cloud9. And I wanted to practice with both teams and see what's best for me. And I remember that I played with Cloud9, and I had that feeling like, there's no way I'm going to join Liquid. I just loved playing with Cloud9. And then I had this week of practice with Liquid, and I was just even more impressed with what I saw. And the first map that I played was the Inferno map. We destroyed the other team that we play against. It was actually an okay team, and we destroyed them. Everything just felt great. You know, like that honeymoon. But everyone just felt insanely great. That's what happened. Like, I got a lot of kills. And that's normally not what happened. But at that map, I got a lot of kills. And they just liked playing with me. And they after this map, they were just, okay, we need Taco. We need this guy. And Cloud9, at the time, was Valens, the coach. He was also talking to me a lot, like, you know, he really wanted me to join Cloud9, and I really wanted to join Cloud9 at the time as well, but Liquid was just a better fit, and I'm glad I was right in the end. And playing with them, when I first saw their screen on a practice, when I saw Elige moving, when I saw Twiz mechanics, and when I saw Nef POV, that's just, I would, holy fuck, that's insane. I'm not joining a bad team, I'm joining an insane team. Like, we have great players, we just need to, you know, to get things going and be on the right place, but that was difficult.
Sure. I mean, along those lines, a question I had was, obviously you saw Zeus when he was in the Illuminosity team and you won the majors with him, but then you also got to see him in this Team Liquid squad. And to me, I always say, I've told the Team Liquid players this so many times, the most underrated person in the history of North American CSGO is Zeus, a guy from, not from North America, because before he came, you motherfuckers weren't in all the big finals. Like, he came to this team, which, as you're saying, like, the actual skill level of those players was always good. They always had, like, skills. They just didn't understand, like, the bigger picture, how to play the game. They didn't know how to Europeans played the game. They had like their own weird NA meta, which was kind of like playing Poggy, you know. So to me, give me some thoughts. What was Zeus like as a coach in Liquid compared to when he was with the Brazilians? How did he run things differently with Americans, do you think?
I think when I just joined Liquid, they had a way better structure because they already had Zeus for some time. So I'm not sure what he did in the beginning to fix that team, to improve that team, but I'm sure he did a lot. When I joined, his role was definitely strategic, and he would fill us with a lot of things that a coach would normally do. And but he had a very big leadership role, you know. He was the leader of that team outside of the game, and he was really good at managing personalities. And I think that's really important, especially in that team, you know, because we had players, I mean, with strong personalities, and you know, players that could be difficult to deal with, and having someone that can do that. This kind of job is really important in this situation. So I think he was definitely really important. I mean, in any team he joined, he is a great coach, and he proved that in a lot of projects and teams that he joined. And in Liquid, in my opinion, was a good job. But when I joined, this leadership role was his thing, you know, like managing things, and he was really good at it.
It must have been strange for you, because even though there are some Americans, like people like Stewie, who can be a bit fiery, that Team Liquid squad you joined was like the quietest guys of all time. Like, I've heard there was never actually like proper arguments. It was like people just get, in English you call it like the cold treatment, you know, like you just ignore the person, or you just type in to another person on the chat. I've heard it was like a really, must have been a very different vibe to SK Gaming.
I changed that.
Okay.
I changed that. You are not wrong, but I changed that. Like, first tournament when I joined Liquid, they had a big argument outside of the venue because we lost to Astralis a game, and I got scared. Like, I was, man, how the fuck? Like, I am not used to that. I'm not used to losing games and going outside of the venue and then yelling at your teammates. You know? Like, I'm not used to fucking that. That's impossible. And you know what? It happened in front of fucking Astralis. Like, they were next to us. I'm telling you, Destiny, we never won against them. I'm not saying that that's the reason, but they were right next to us, seeing everything, and I could look at them and see that they were like, man, what the fuck these idiots are doing, you know? So when I first joined Liquid, that happened, and I was just scared. And I remember that I sent a message, but when we came back to the hotel, I was like, guys, you are not going to your room. We are going to the same room together. And that's when the references, yes, I mean, the people that I look back in my career taught me to do, like, okay, I know what's happening. People are mad. I just joined the team. there's nothing to do with me. They already had problems before. Then I got everyone in the same room together, and then I was like, okay, guys, now we're going to talk. Like, I don't care. We're going to talk, you know? That's not the way we do things. Like, I don't think blaming someone or pointing fingers or being mad or whatever, and worse than that, yelling at someone outside of the venue, like, of the competition, and, man, that's terrible. That's a bad image, like, for everyone. That's for the team. Like, people are going to look at us and look at that team that they fight between each other. Like, that's terrible, you know? And that was my first tournament with Liquid. And then I thought that when I joined that team, I would have to teach them a lot, and I would have to... But actually, with time, they were the ones that taught me a lot.
Oh, okay.
They were the ones that taught me a lot. And I could understand CS in a different way. CS was changing. CS was faster. Nitro would... I always liked to be next to him and doing the anti-strats with him and talking about the maps and talking about the vetoes. And I was always this guy to Fallen. And in Liquid, they actually needed someone to be that guy as well, because Elish, he's really good. He's really smart. He likes to do his things. But Russell, Nav, they are actually really smart players. But, you know, when it comes like to the big picture, it was more Nitro, Zeus, and a little bit me. And I always like to be there, like to help. So they taught me a lot, like a lot. They taught me to be more professional. They taught me a lot of stuff in the game. They taught me that I needed to keep grinding, because at that time, like when I was leaving SK, I didn't want to play, you know, I was not happy playing. Like when you go to the game and you practice, like you don't want to be there. I was in that mood. So when I joined the Liquid, they gave it back to me, you know? And after some time, the team, I actually think that I gave a lot to them as well, but I was just too childish. I hope I had the same mind that I have now with 28 years of age at that time. Because, I don't know, I was just too childish where I needed to be in that team at least. If not a leader, at least someone that could take the reins, because that was needed at that time, you know? That was really needed. That team needed someone like with energy, and I could be that one guy, some tournaments, some matches, sometimes, but I could be the opposite as well in some other tournaments. I could be the one bringing the mood down. And
right.
So, yes, in the end, I think it was a good mix. I learned a lot. I could teach them a lot as well. I think we were really happy in my time there. We had no problems after, during, and before anything with Liquid. I love them. Neff and CodeZero are the best ones I ever played with in the same bomb site. They are just crazy. Neff, it was insane. I love Neff. He's one of the few players that I consider my personal friend nowadays. We really have this relationship that we created in Liquid when we played together in the same bomb sites, and that was crazy playing with him, because he was just doing, you know, his job. Like, he's the guy is just insane. And Neff, we're gonna play against NIP, and they like to do that. We're gonna do this, and he would do exactly what I'm saying, but much better, you know. And he would, I don't know, the guy is just too good, and that's the kind of guy I like to jump to. I like to jump for this kind of guys, you know. I like to jump for Neff, for Cold, you know. That's, I have no problem jumping for these kind of guys, and Neff is one of these guys, definitely.
Did you actually play your best Counter-Strike when you were in Liquid? Was this the best individual year of Tacor?
Until there, I can say that it was my... where I was feeling more... the most confident. Like, in terms of performances, I think I have really great ones in Liquid. And if you try to find the balance of that, probably my time in Liquid was great, better than SK and LG. But I think Young Taco 2016 had something special that, if was unleashed, could become something big. But he just went through some stuff and he failed, I guess.
Right. What about this then? You tell me if this is nonsense or not, right? When I looked, actually, even though, because Brazilians have now played with North Americans for so long, people have talked a lot about making lineups. Like, obviously, even the junior guy went to Furia and Fallen went to Team Liquid and Cold Zero went to FaZe Clan. People talked as though it's like, right, well, they speak English, so they should just join the top teams. It looks like culturally, though, these teams haven't worked out. Like, Cold Zero and FaZe was, yeah, whatever. Fallen in Team Liquid didn't look like it worked that well for both parties. You're the only one it worked for. You actually just looked awesome in Team Liquid. This team actually was better. You're in all the finals. Does this say something about your mentality to adapt to people? Do you think that's got something to do with it?
I think so. That's really fair to say. That's actually, like I told you in the beginning, that's something I have. Like, I joined that team and I had to be what they needed me to be, you know? What they needed when I joined, what they told me, we need a second voice. We need someone with your experience. We need someone that's going to hold the B-bomb site and is going to be great at that. And you're going to be, we need someone to jump and be the first in to go. So I said, yeah, roger that. That's what I do. That's exactly what I like to do. But it's not as simple as that. You have to adapt. You have to understand how Nitro likes to play. You have to understand how Elige likes to play, because you have to play around Elige. He's a superstar as well. He's a great player. I have to have big talks with Neff, the way he likes to play, the way I like to play. I spent a lot of days with Neff, like sitting next to me on my computer and discussing bomb sites and. So I kind of also brought them this kind of hard work mentality, you know, like, hey, we're going to fix our bomb site now. Neff, come. No, you're fucking lazy, man. You're going to sit here next to me and we're going to fix our B Mirage. We're going to fix our overpass. It's looking bad, man. Remember last game? We just got outplayed. Let's fix that. So knowing how to handle these guys is important as well. Like Neff, he's also a star, man. He doesn't give a fuck. He's fucking insane. So if I come to Neff and say, hey, let's fix our B bomb site overpass, he's gonna do it. But he's not gonna be the guy, hey, I think we are doing bad in that bomb site. No, he's gonna think he's gonna destroy the next one he plays against in the next map, in the next match, you know? So you kind of have to bring these kind of things to these players and just know where you are.
One thing I did want to ask you about is, I think maybe people are like mistaking it for the next year when they had Stewie, but people always talk like Team Liquid was just like fucking pogging or something. Like, dude, I always thought this year, especially Team Liquid had pretty good tactics. Like, looked like Zeus understood what he was doing. Nitro actually probably underrated as an in-game leader from this time period, right? Give me some thoughts on what it was like to play with Nitro when because this is when he'd like fully embraced being in-game leader, right?
Yes, I kept doing my job in terms of preparing my bomb sites, and the way I helped Nick was, Nick, you don't need to, for example, you're going to watch Navi, we're going to play against Navi and we think the map is Dustview. You don't need to watch the B side of the map, just prepare for the A side of the map by CT. I take care of the B side. I study the B player. You don't need to do anything of that. I do that. So that's the way I could help him. Also bringing ideas and bringing setups and stuff like that. Zeus would also help pretty much with the same thing, and also managing the players and personalities and understanding what we need and pointing out our mistakes and communication and, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, doing his job. And Nick, he was the one behind the style we play, you know? Like, he was the one with the reins. Like, he would tell the how fast we would play and how slow we should play now. And the, I mean, he would say the pace of, he would say the pace of the game, you know. And he was really good at that. He was really calm as well. He's a really good guy, and he's really calm. His communication is really good, and he's a really great team player as well. Pretty much in Liquid, we had also had this talk. I remember Zeus saying, "Guys, let's be honest here. We have Taco, we have Nitro. The system of this team, these guys are supposed to support you guys. Twists, Leash, Death. They're gonna support you. Taco, Nitro, you're gonna be the best you can in your role, and Nef, Elige, Twist, go kill, literally. You guys need to win us the games, you know. Go get the skills, go run and get the skills." So we had a pretty good system, and also people understood a lot. And when you have this kind of system, the same, it's not the same, but we also had a system in SK, but when you have this kind of system and players that know what they are doing and understand and talk the same language, I mean, in terms of the game, then it's easy, you know. You don't need to be the best in-game leader ever in the planet, because they already know. So it's much more how you think about the game and how you can prepare your players and team to play the way you think CS should be played than the calls during a match and stuff like that. They, I mean, FalleN, Nitro, they all have great calls during a match, but I think the big thing is just the idea they have behind CS and the way they thought CS should be played. That's what is better for me. That's what's great for me.
Right. What would you say about the dreaded rivalry with Astralis, who obviously was just winning every single time? Even if you met them in the finals, it didn't matter. They would just win anyway. Because the problem I have is this, Taco. I feel like people are a little bit unfair. Like, everyone calls that lineup the best team to ever play Counter-Strike. Like, not just now, ever in the history of the game, everyone says they're the greatest. They have all the majors. They won all the top. So in a way, there's a reason why they were always in the final. Like, they beat everyone, but particularly everyone remembers Liquid losing to them. So what would you tell us about this? Why were they so unbeatable?
If you look at the results, we would destroy every team. Like, some tournaments, nobody would make 10 rounds against us in any map. We would just 16-6, 16-7, 16-8, 16-4, 16-2, 16-9, until the grand finals, then we would get destroyed by Astralis. And then when you looked at Astralis bracket, they would lose maps. It would be very difficult to them. They would get to the grand finals almost not getting there, and then they would just destroy us like we were nothing. I think it was just map pool.
True.
Very bad for us. Their best map was Nuke. Nobody could win Nuke against them. Then their insta veto was Strain. It was our insta as well. And they would veto every time. We had to veto Strain against them. And they would veto our best map every time. I remember that. It was so annoying. I did all the vetoes against... in Liquid, I used to be the vetoes guys,
oh, right.
Guy. I was the one doing the vetoes. And I did a lot of these vetoes with Zonic. And I remember all of them was really terrible for us because it was always starting 1-0 for them. Like, Nuke is already over. We lost Nuke. What's the second map? And then we tried a lot of different maps and a lot of different things. I even brought holy water for the team.
Just try anything.
Yes, before the Face It majors, they make fun of me a lot. In London, we were about to play the semifinals against Astralis, and my mom gave me a holy water, and I just gave to the entire team, and they laughed. Because I was like, guys, like, we gotta try something.
Yeah.
But yes, it was actually a insane block. I think the map pool was insanely difficult for us, and we found out that we could actually veto Nuke and play Train against them in my last tournament. ESL Pro League, and that's when we veto Nuke and we played Train, and we won against them on Train. But that's
too late.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
too late, friend. Sue is coming.
By the way, what actually happened after that? Because here's the detail a lot of people don't know, Taco. People think what happened was that because everyone is just a HLTV forum poster, they all think like, oh, what happened was they kicked Taco and then they got Stewie in because, you know, it's like a super team. I've heard it was the other way around. I've heard you and Zeus just decided we're going back to play with MIBR. And it was, and then what happened was they released Stewie and Tarek or whatever, and it was the other way around, right?
Liquid was really happy with our lineup. There was no reason to change. We were just getting second place every tournament. And it was a matter of time until we win something. But I was just too stupid. And that was definitely my decision. Like, they didn't even know about that before the grand finals against Astralis. I already knew it. And I talked to Liquid's management, and they knew it as well, but the players didn't know it. But I decided to join MIBR during that ESL Pro League, and we actually destroyed them in that ESL Pro League in the semifinals. But I was already decided to join. After the game, they even came to me, "Hey, you sure you want to come?" And I was, unfortunately, yeah.
What was the reason to go back?
I got... that's so dumb. I got tired of second place. And I thought that coming back to MIBR, I would make them win again. And I was like, okay, this team cannot beat fucking Astralis. I'm going to a team that can beat Astralis. And because SK, we had no problems to beat Astralis. Like, okay, fucking Astralis, we don't care for them. In Liquid, we had this, holy fuck, it's Astralis, you know? So I was like, yeah, now I'm going to destroy them. And MIBR was top four at the time. It was not like I was leaving second best team to join the, you know, the tier two team. They were fourth. It was okay. We could still trust them. And they were my friends. Of course, they talk a lot of stuff in my mind, like Code Zero, hey man, come, okay, please, come, blah, blah, blah. And I just bought it. I regret a lot coming back to MIBR. When I left MIBR, not MIBR, it was SK at the time. When I left SK, things were already bad. And when I joined MIBR, when I came back to MIBR to SK, things were just not as bad. They were actually worse. So.
Right.
I instantly knew that it was a bad decision after a few months.
Should you have given end of the year in Liquid?
What is that? Sorry?
Should you have played another year in Team Liquid?
Oh, that's definitely what I should have done at that time. That's definitely, I think it was just a matter of time. I think I was just too childish and I didn't think very well at the time. And I even, and also that's something I openly talk about with the guys, like with Fallen, with Cold, I told them, like, guys, you made me come back to that fucking shit. Like, you were not at the right place of mind, you know? Holy fuck. But of course, it's that nobody does that because they want to punish me or they actually also believed that with me coming back, they would just come back and we would get back to the trophies and, get back to the right place. But that's not what happened. I tried my best in the beginning, but that was not enough.
Right. Obviously, later on, you actually got to swap roles and you became an in-game leader and you were with all the godsent guys, etc. What has this period of your career been like? Like, was there a day you just sat down and decided, like, it's time to become an in-game leader? I mean, from this interview, people can guess you were already, like, helping out team structure, concepts, things to do. Was it a natural thing that Taco becomes an in-game leader eventually?
It was really... I was really scared when I first thought about becoming an in-game leader, because I was really good at, if you ask me about anything, any smoke, anything, any play, any player, any round, whatever, from my bomb size, I'm going to know everything, and I'm going to be up to date, and I'm going to be, creating stuff and changing stuff all the time. But when it comes to other bomb sites or other parts of the map, I never, you know, like I never gave the same importance as my bomb sites and my roles and the stuff I like to do, you know. So if I'm the entry fragger, I'm gonna find the best way I can jump and hit my head in this roof and make my movement better, and the guy is not gonna hit me, and the second guy is gonna get the kill that I want. And I mean, but I was never putting this effort in other stuff. And when I needed to become an in-game leader, I was leaving MIBR. I had offers from other teams, NA teams, and they were good offers. But they were good offers in terms of money, you know. I didn't have any offer that would make me like Liquid did. Like when I look at the paper and when I see the players, holy fuck, that makes a lot of sense. That's where I want to be. I didn't get any of these offers. I had offers that I would keep playing and maybe NA teams, and I mean, I would be there, you know, but that's not what I wanted to do. And I decided to go back to Brazil, and that's when Ricardo came up with the idea of bringing new players, you know, like players that already we see potential, like that are doing great in Brazil, but are not there yet. And he came up with this idea, and I said, well, that's something new, and that's what I need now. Like, I need something different. Like, I'm being the same taco for forever now. I know that I'm good at what I do, and I'm happy with a lot that I have done in my career, and that's great already, but I need something different, and if I don't change, nothing's going to happen. I'm going to just be stuck here and, you know, in some tier 2 team and whatever. I'm not going to accept that. I want to, you know, to keep going. And everyone, even in Liquid, Zeus already had talks with me at the time, like, hey, what do you think about becoming an in-game leader in the future? We are thinking about preparing you for this. Maybe that could work. They had these talks with me in SK as well. Like some days Fallen was traveling, or he went to a wedding, or he was doing something. Like, Taco, you are the in-game leader. So people started to kind of, you know, fill me with that. And, hey, I think you could be a good one. Hey, maybe you are good. Why don't you try? And I just decided to try. And I was really scared because I didn't know anything about anything very deep about all the positions, and I had to learn everything from the scratch. Like, I had to go over fucking every A bomb site, and that gave me a lot of knowledge. And in some time, I was already feeling fucking confident and in my game as well. Like, I knew everything that was happening. I, you know, when you have this feeling, like, and I was feeling like that. I was feeling really good, and Godsend started to playing good, and we started to do good in tournaments as well. And I learned a lot from that time. A lot, because we lost a lot as well. We lost, holy, I can't even count. And a person that helped me a lot was Fallen, because I used to ask him some stuff. And with time, nice. I even didn't agree with him at some stuff. And with time, now I understand why he says that. And so I would call him, like during my boot camp in Serbia, I would call him, hey, man, I was playing against a team today, and the first round I called mid-take. I wanted us to fight for mid before we split A. And the second round, I thought that I could just play heavy A, and I got outplayed. What do you think? Like, why did I thought that it was the perfect play. Like, I can't understand why this went wrong. And then we would discuss and stuff like that. So Paulin was good to me at this beginning, and Ricardo helped me in terms of leadership. He would always be next to me, like, hey, be a leader. Hey, these guys are young. They all look up at you. They all watched you when you were younger. It's a dream for them. So you got to understand your responsibility, and you got to understand your role in the team. Like, be a leader. And And he helped me a lot with that. Like he gave me a lot of advices. I never wanted to be a leader, or never, it was never something that I want to do that. You know, just people told me that I have the profile, and I think we did a great job in Godsend.
Right. When people heard that story a couple of years ago, like they're going to do a Last Dance lineup with Fallen and Ferv and all that jazz, right? One thing I want to know was this. To me, what didn't make sense was you didn't actually do the Last Dance lineup. Like, if you'd made the original, like, team that won the majors, that would be a really cool idea. Were you actually asked to be in this team? Was the idea ever to make the original real lineup?
Yeah, they asked me when I was in Godsend. The original idea was to have all five players that won both majors. I know that CodeZera didn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't do this because I think there is something to do. I mean, with plans he has in his life and Fallen's life and stuff like that. So, not gonna go into it. But for me at the time, I didn't want to go because I was just I'm just too loyal, and I was good at where I was. I was happy with Godsend. I had no reason to leave, and I understood at that point that if I left that team, even the project could also end and
all
stuff
right.
like that. So,
okay,
I had a lot of respect, not and love, not only for the people around the project, but for my players, you know, like Lato, Dumao, Bartin at the time, I really had them as my son, you know, as my someone that I protect and really love. So at that time, nothing would make me leave that team. Not like nothing, literally nothing. And when Fallen called me, I told him that I was not leaving, and he definitely understood. They called some more times after that, but always my answer was no, I'm not leaving. And I'm happy they understood. Like they never pressured me, or they were never, you know, like putting any kind of pressure. They were okay, we understand, man, but if you ever change your mind stuff like that. And also, if at the time I was like, if they want to do that, be happy, like go do it without me, you know.
What was it like to reunite with CodeZera and 00 Nation?
It definitely brought a lot of old memories, and we kind of found out again why we liked to play with each other, because it's easy to play with each other. It's easy to play with someone that knows your game and know the things you like to do and stuff like that. But I think the structure of the team needed me and him to be away from each other, you know. So we were not playing together anymore. He was playing the other side of the maps, because we kind of, the structure that I liked, that I built to call, was like in some maps he was the one controlling the three players that should supposed to get space for the team. I was more anchor, but he was feeding me with call, with tells and calls, so we built this kind of structure that he would help in one side of the map. I would be doing my thing, and then I would also do the big picture. So we couldn't play together, and even though we had this feeling, right, like playing together, winning some clutches, like when happens on practice, like clutches that we won without even communicating, like the guys, holy fuck, that's so nice, we saw Takod winning a clutch, that's legendary, you know, like the guys from the team and stuff like that. So it was really fun, really, really funny, but definitely not like the old good days, because we couldn't do that at this time.
Right, I've got a complicated sort of last question for you now, but you're the man that can answer it, right? Because as I said before, even when people have tried to blend together North Americans and Brazilians, it hasn't worked that well. Like, spoiler, it didn't work that well in MIBR, and they had some of the best American players, right? You're one of the only ones, as well as Zeus, that's properly been able to go between these teams and have success in Brazil, have success with the North Americans, right? How would you explain that to the people who are in the English language speaking world? they all think Brazilian fans are the worst fans ever. They're all haters. But all the Brazilians think that all the people in the English language speaking world are the worst fans ever and hate Brazilians. And there's some impasse, Taco. Somehow we can't get past this impasse. What do you think? What is the problem? What are both sides not seeing? Like, what would be the move that could, like, bring peace and we could all just enjoy Counter-Strike from now on?
Well, what I did, I used to get things very personal. Like, whatever bad thing someone talk about me, I would take it very personal. And I think we do that a lot in Brazil, you know? And in a way, you know what I mean. Have this kind of humor where in Brazil we tend to take things very personal, but you don't, you know? I think that's the biggest clash. I could be wrong here, but I think that's the biggest clash. Like, but in general, I think what makes people get mad at each other is Brazilians takes things too serious sometimes, and you guys have this sense of humor, like, where you can say where the fuck you want without worrying, you know? Like, yes, that's just a joke. I didn't want to say that where we are. Holy fuck, what you just said, you know?
Sure.
Maybe that has something to do with that. But when it comes to working with Americans, and at least for me, I learned a lot, and I think there are cons and pros and cons for both sides. I think we, because from where we came and the way we had the things we had to do to play Counter-Strike, at least in our teams, we used to be more family, to be, you know, like, to have this kind of personal connection. And, I mean, that's definitely fair if you work in a company that's not like that, you know? Like, that's real life. Wake up. Come on. You are my boss. You don't need to do anything. Like, just do your job, you know? That's how life is. But in Brazil and in the Brazilian teams and even other sports, we tend to be this kind of family, and, you know, everyone together, we are here for the same goal. Where in NA, at least for me, it's more a professional thing. Like, okay you get paid to do your best, you know? Like, I don't care. Just fucking do your best. You get paid for that. And that's how it is. That's real life. Yeah, you know? And I like both. I can adapt to both. I like family. I like more business side. I don't care. Like, as long as people respect me and I respect people, they can do whatever they want. I don't care. But I think some people kind of have a hard time dealing with these things, maybe.
Yeah, well said. Right, at the end of this interview, Taco, do you have a final message? Do you have anyone you want to thank or say hello to?
Well, thanks to you for the invite again. I know we have... actually, sorry for my English. I know it's not perfect for you guys listening. But, I mean, I gave my best. And also, I know we had... I never had a beef with you, right? We never had problems, I would say. Maybe I said something stupid, you said something.
There's some crap on Twitter, I have no doubt. Yeah, nothing big.
Yeah, it never happened. But, and I know the Brazilian community hates you and all this.
It is what it is, isn't it? It is what
I know. Yes, it is what it is. But I never look at it in a bad way, you know. I never hate you. I respect you a lot. I think you do a great job, and I'm a big fan of your work. Like, one of the best things when I learned English was being able to understand all the CS shows and all the right. what people that talking enthusiasts are talking. So when it happened to me, I was really happy, and being able to watch your stuff and everyone's stuff was really good to me. So just thank you. Thank you again, everyone watching, and I hope you guys liked.
Muito obrigado.
Perfect.
I've been pleasantly surprised during the time I've had my Patreon and my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati, by both the financial support they've provided and the moral support. And so this video was kindly supported and made possible by Starlost, Theo Buenzelli, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Racula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Bot Pounder 420, Yerka 86, Tosh, and as always, you know it, a special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in one of those AMAs where I tend to go pretty in depth? Sometimes they even spin out into their own videos. Do you want teasers to find out who the upcoming guests are for the myriad of interviews that I do across esports? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest? We have a channel on my Discord where you can do that if you're at the right tier. And of course, you could potentially take part in one of those lengthy esports discussions with me about whatever is on your mind in the scene. Well, if any of those perks sound tantalizing, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.